This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
You're listening to Breaking Waves on Eastside 89.7 with Alex Healy, Seth Drylath and Ollie Shelbourne.
We are back for another week.
We are.
That's right. How's everyone feeling tonight?
Good, man. Excited.
Long day at work?
Yeah.
Long day at the office?
Yeah. Monday's always a bit of a...
But now that I'm with you guys, I feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're one-fifth through the week, so...
Oh, very nice.
Well, we'd love to hear any, like, fun or intriguing stories from the weekend. So please let us know. Bring some excitement to our Monday night, breaking.waves.eastside.fm. Yeah.
Did you get kicked out of any pubs? Did you binge watch Bridgerton? Or did you get smashed in a game of soccer?
That's a good one. Shut up. It wasn't that bad.
Didn't you have a date, Ollie?
Yes. I'm going to get into that later on the show, but it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Wait, you can't tease it. Give us something.
All I will say is that...
Did you turn up? That's the, that's the main thing. Did you turn up?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board with some of my jokes, I think. I'll get into that next. Plus, we've got heaps more coming up on the show. What's on the way, Alex?
On Breaking Waves, we discuss all aspects of health, but tonight we're focusing on an often overlooked but critical part, and that is... sexual health.
Exactly. We've lined up some enlightening sex-positive stories that we cannot wait to share with you all.
And just a heads up, listener discretion is advised for tonight's content. We think it's best suited for those 18 and up.
So let's get into it and kickstart the show. We're going to head straight into our first song. And as we all know, guys, everything good comes in threes. Alex, Seth and Ollie. Ooh. And this song is a collab between David Guetta, Galantis and 5 Seconds of Summer. It's called Lighter. And this is your Monday evening right here on Eastside.
We're paper planes in the sky, drifting where the wind blows. Yeah, gravity held me tight, but with you I can let go. I know, when I'm hollow, hollow, you take it all the way and fill the empty spaces.
That song.
Love it too. You're listening to Alex, Seth and Ollie on Eastside.
Guys, blind dates. Do we reckon they work? Do you reckon they're still relevant?
No, not anymore.
I feel like everyone's on the apps. Everyone wants to see who they're going to date before they get there.
Your profile, even on dating apps, on Instagram, social media, your face is out there. Yeah. Like, how many people are doing an incognito Instagram?
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes blind dates work. I mean, my parents were set up on a blind date.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Wait, how did that work?
Mum and dad were newly single, mm-hmm. and my auntie, so my mum's sister, was very protective of my mum, and so she said no to her friend, you're not setting my sister up on a blind date for like a year.
Yeah.
And then she did, and then she met my dad, and it was apparently love at first sight, and they've been together ever since.
Aw.
That's cute.
That's actually a nice story.
You know, their stats are showing that over 67% of people aged 55 to 64 have actively go on blind dates. And then it just gets less and less. And people aged 18 to 24, only 20% of those people are actually going on blind dates because they obviously want to see who they're dealing with first.
I wouldn't. Would you go on a blind date?
No, I feel like I do want to see. I do feel like physical attraction is also as much as porn as like emotional attraction as well. Like you got to like their personality. But like you also got to, you know, you like what they look like.
I think
the good thing, though,
is you're there and you're judging them based off like what the vibe is or the chat is rather than like or judging them off a photo you've seen the week before. So I suppose you do get a more authentic connection then and there, but you're right, you don't. You might rock up and realise, don't like orangas.
Pretty much. I think you rock up there ginger.
Get away!
But I think I think that's for our age though. But where, you know, like when older, like the stats, 55 to 60.
They just want
to. At that
find
point, you
love.
Want someone, you're looking for a death partner at that point. You're looking for someone that you can, you know, ride along.
Grow old with.
Go
on those little really cruises care. Around.
Yeah. So you're now looking for that, you know, person. And I think that's really cute when old people like find love again.
But are blind dates actually successful?
Well, I've got 12 celebrity couples who actually met on blind dates. And some of these are like some fan favourite couples. So do you want me to go through?
Yeah.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
I was going to guess that one. Yeah.
Really?
Set up on a blind date by a friend.
Really?
So I think Harry saw a video of Meghan on Instagram and obviously was like, she looks a bit of me. Got the friend. They had a mutual friend and they set them up on a blind date at Soho in London. Apparently,
and then
Meghan had no idea
who
he was.
Wow!
But But back that was successful. That was a blind date.
She rocked up. He was ginger, and she stayed. There you go. So there's all the gingers
around.
Out
there. We like for you.
Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
No way.
Really? Wait, no. They met on a movie set.
No,
they fell in love.
Well, they were actually meeting up with different people for a double date.
What?
And then that was a blind date, and they actually had better chemistry.
They're like my favorite couple, like celebrity couple.
Yeah, you're right, Alex. They met on the set of Green Lantern in 2010. But sparks really flew when they later ended up on a double date together with different people as their dates. So they were friends, and then they went on a blind date with other people, and then they were like, you know what?
I love them.
That's sweet.
Cool. That's cool.
Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen?
Tom Brady.
I don't know who she is.
They met on a blind date at a wine bar in New York City. That's very romantic. You got Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, who were set up on a date by their agents. So that sounds like a bit of a PR move, but
maybe.
I suppose it was successful.
I have
until
a question.
Angelina
though.
This
is a genuine question. So I don't know who Tom Brady's wife is. Do you know if
she's
famous?
A supermodel?
Because she is a supermodel.
She's one of the Victoria's Secret, I think.
My question is it really a blind date if you rock up and Tom Brady is there? Because like you
know
who Tom Brady is, right? Like,
you're right. Maybe if you're a celebrity, they don't really
like celebrity on celebrity is okay because you know you're both sort of in the same bracket. You're very well known. But if you're a random person, you rock up and your blind date is Leonardo DiCaprio, but you're 27, well, you're getting rejected.
What info are you getting though when you're going on a blind date? Did someone show you a photo or someone tell you their name? Because then you have to go around being like, "Hi."
I suppose really a
are
blind date is actually it's not so much being blind to what they look like. Maybe it's just that you haven't talked to them beforehand and it's like set up.
Yeah, and like what information would you give a friend before pushing them into a blind date? You'd have to see a photo, like, because otherwise you're wandering around the bar being
true.
Like, "Hi, are you my date?"
But that used to happen.
I mean, it does. That's how
back
it happens.
And they were successful,
apparently.
But maybe that's because you didn't have Instagram, so you can't look at what else you got. I got a couple more celebrity couples.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris were set up on a blind date by Ellie Goulding.
Really?
But surely if Ellie's like, "Hey, Calvin, I got a mate called Taylor, I got a mate called Calvin," they're going to know who each other are.
Fair enough.
And then here in Australia, Chris Hemsworth, he met his wife Elsa Pataky through their dialect coach.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so what happened was they share three children now, but they were initially set up on a blind date after their dialect coach gave Hemsworth Elsa's number. He left her a voicemail saying, "Hello, my name's Chris. Would you like to go on a date?" He looked her up, and she thought she was very lovely, sounded like a wonderful person. And she said, "I appreciated what she did to get us together because none of this would have happened."
Wow.
So you never know. It could
and
be
look,
successful.
And sometimes if it works out, you two start a life together, you have kids, and you know you grow together. And that's fantastic. You met on a blind date, and now you're just starting
a family.
What
a story as well.
I know. Right. In fact, we've got a story coming up next of a mother. She didn't go on a blind date, but she's definitely started blind in a new industry. It's very, very unusual. But she's decided that that's a bit of a learning curve for her. So I'll talk about that next. But first, we've got our second song. This is Be The One by Dua Lipa. You're listening to Breaking Waves on Eastside 89.7. I see the moon, I see the moon,
I see the moon. Oh, when you're looking at the sun. Not a fool. No, you're not fooling anyone.
On your Monday evening, that was Dua Lipa with Be The One, and Seth has apparently been spending some time on OnlyFans.
No, well, let's not get this twisted over here, all right, mates. I've been doing some research, some very good in-depth research on OnlyFans. Basically, there's a story that's gone around recently about an OnlyFans creator who is a mum, by the way, and she's like publicly come out saying that doing OnlyFans has made her a better mum.
What?
Please elaborate.
Okay, I will. So,
please explain.
Speaking to KidSpot, which is a magazine, Honey Brooks is her name. She opened up about her unique career path and how it positively shapes her parenting and the tough lessons she's had to learn along the way.
Yeah, but
how? What?
I don't get it. Because would her kids not be getting bullied at school?
So I don't say
you have to be parenting. Really, really big on OnlyFans for kids to know about your mum.
Well, she is one of the top earners on OnlyFans, according to this article.
What's her name?
Honey Brooks.
Honey Brooks. Which makes if you were listening, you'd understand.
Honey Brooks is an OnlyFans name.
It is an OnlyFans name, isn't it? Do you reckon there's like an OnlyFans name generator?
Should we look it up?
Oh, look it up. Look that up for me.
Honey
in the meantime,
Brooks.
Honey Brooks.
Oh, I've seen her on Instagram.
Have you?
Yeah.
There you go. She might be doing quite well then. Anyway, she stumbled upon sex work when actually she came down to Australia on holiday and stumbled across another couple that was doing it. And she was like, oh, this sounds like a good industry.
So we've got a good reputation.
Yeah,
overseas.
Right. She said, I didn't need to get into sex work. I just saw it as a chance to be rewarded for how hard I worked and the income would reflect that. She now brings in $90,000 a month.
A month.
Yeah. No.
Alex, you need to get onto that ASAP.
Oliver.
You said you had an expensive electricity bill.
Well, actually, turns out AGL made a mistake.
Oh.
Yeah, on the Tuesday, they gave me $600, which didn't make sense for two people. And then 5 days later, it changed to $200. And they called them and they were like, yeah, sorry, We got it wrong.
Well, thank God for that. I can finally rest. I was thinking about it all night.
So the lesson is pay your bills later.
There you go. That's actually true, though. Yeah, fair enough. There you are. Basically, the lessons that she... Ollie's face, he's not making it easy to bring this story across. And some of the lessons she's learned from being OnlyFans, firstly, it's sort of just general stuff, like, just be yourself. Be independent, be strong-willed, don't care what anyone else thinks about you. OnlyFans has generally made me a better mum and improved my parenting skills, just because she can finally be herself, and that's the sort of message she wants to bring to her children. Don't care about anyone else. Don't.
You know what? If you're making money, and you're getting your kids, like you're raising your kids, you're sending them to school with the OnlyFans money, all power to you. I would just feel like when those kids get to a certain age in high school and their friends find out that their mum... Yeah. You know, is on OnlyFans, or they come across their mum on Instagram or online, because you know how stuff just gets leaked and kids are always all over the internet, social media. Imagine that, seeing your mum.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to tell you what OnlyFans is. You can look it up, just because...
I'm sure they know, to be honest.
No, well, our generation would.
Yeah, that's true.
That's actually very true.
Yeah, because it started. I mean, it's only recent, in the last, like, decade.
Well, the name actually OnlyFans was for celebrities or influencers to give their fans like a behind-the-scenes look at their life,
that's,
you know, some new music or like model shots they've done, or like, you know, unreleased tracks, sports tips and coaching. But over the years, it sort of
it's progressed to sex work kind of
style. Well, yeah, but we're all about talking about sexual health, sex positive on this show, which is why we're not putting her down. We're saying, you know what?
All power to her.
Yeah. This is, she said, the industry has really taught me to be open-minded. Before I got into the industry, I was a little naive about it, I suppose. It's also taught her never to judge and to be open to different types of people, as there are so many different people out there. It's taught her to be more resilient and independent, and she just wants to create a positive sort of sex atmosphere for her kids to grow into, something that they shouldn't be, like, ashamed about.
And I suppose you're right. If you're open with those kind of topics and with, like, sexual health and that thing and, like, that stuff in your family, then you're having those open discussions. It's not, you don't get to that awkward age where the kids, you know, might have awkward questions, but your parents aren't bringing it up. So if you're open the whole time and you're having those open chats and the kids and the parents are, you know, discussing things openly and there's nothing taboo in the family, then I reckon that's a good thing.
It creates dialogue, which I think is one of the biggest issues for kids a lot, is that they feel like they can't speak to their parents.
Yeah, you're right.
I do feel like that's a good little place that she's learned there. But my big question is, could you not create an open dialogue with your kids about sex positivity without being an OnlyFans creator? Because my only concern with Honey at the moment, only concern, is that it's just awkward if the kids stumble across it.
I think it's important, you're right, for her to actually talk with her kids before they start going online on social media. Because, I mean, she may not have given her kids a phone yet. Most parents do.
Yeah, they might be young.
But if she has, it's really important that she talks with them. Because otherwise, if she stumbles across that, she's like, what is this? I haven't been taught in school yet.
Yeah.
Or I only hear things. So, you're right about
that. I think as well, there's a lot of shows these days, TV shows, movies, that, you know, promote discussions about sexual health and things like Heartbreak High, Australian series, very open in the way it deals with those things. It's aimed at kids as well as adults, in the sense that you can watch that. You can have questions raised from that show and go to your parents. You can watch it as a family together. And discuss things like that. And I reckon that is a nice way of sparking those conversations without it being, like, so one-on-one and awkward.
Look, we're not parents, but I think it should be as an equal aim for all of us here that we'll be able to create an atmosphere where our kids in the future, where they can open to us about their sexual health problems and sexual health questions. Because at the end of the day, when you really want a question answered, your parents can be the main places you can go to.
I feel like, as if I was a parent, I would want that conversation to be delayed as much as possible. Like, I would want the kids to be, like, away from that world for so long.
That's fair enough.
But it would be hard because, obviously, people talk at school and then you come home, you have questions, and you would just...
TikTok and stuff.
I know, exactly.
But imagine a six-year-old coming up to you going, what's this?
What is that, Dad?
I don't even know either.
Go back to Bluey.
No, it's so concerning, everything that's on social media, and kids have access to everything now.
They do, Alex.
They do.
It is. It's scary.
Cue the jingle now.
Yeah.
On the topic of sex, guys, and you know I love a list. I just showed you 12 celebrities who are successfully
blind.
Now
you
I've
do,
got
man.
For you the 10 sexiest songs of all time, according to science. So this was actually a commissioned study by Spotify at the Goldsmiths University in London. They wanted to find the most sexually charged song of all time.
How do you measure that?
Well, they questioned 2,000 people about songs that they thought would ordinarily get their juices flowing, songs that they could imagine themselves doing the D2 in the bedroom.
Okay.
And then the recurring songs and genres were then analysed for common traits, lyrics, beats. It was all very scientific. Wow. I've got the list for you here, so I'm going to go.
Holding hands and reading the Bible. For anyone who,
That's we've what got, the deed is in
yeah,
the bedroom.
Exactly.
We've got, coming in at number 10, R. Kelly, Bump and Grind. It's in the title.
Don't think we can play.
We won't play
it. We can't
it
play that, but that's fair
enough.
He's been
cancelled. Yep. The Lady in Red, coming in at number 9 by Chris DeBoer.
Never heard of that one.
Neither have I, but I think it, but the, by the title as well, it sounds pretty seductive, The Lady in Red.
He sounds French.
Yeah. Boys to Men, this song, I mean, needs no introduction. How good is this?
Oh, Ollie.
I'll Make Love to You, coming in at number 8.
Oh my gosh, buy me a drink. Buy me a drink first. Jeez.
Maybe I should be in the studio.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Very romantic.
Okay, nice.
Number 7, we got Bolero by Ravel, Hot Chocolate, You Sexy Thing.
Yep.
Number 5, a bit of a banger.
Oh, this is such a good
Sex
song.
On Fire, Kings of Leon.
This is a bit of an aggressive one. I feel
this
like this
like
is
a
like
a workout song.
Yeah, this is like, oh my gosh, I'm ready. Oh. Ready for the gym.
What are you ready for? Yeah,
the gym.
Oh,
the gym.
Ready for church.
Ready for church. Here we go. Yeah. Listen, this is it romantic though? Your sex is on fire. I guess it's a compliment.
I guess so, yeah.
Barry White coming in at number 4 with Anything by the Artist. So I think they've just agreed anything by Barry White.
Yeah, fair enough.
Gets
okay.
you in the mood.
Right.
Serge Gainsbourg with Je T'aime, another French song
French.
Set. You're
yep.
right. And the top 2 what? Spots were occupied by the same artist. Have
no.
a guess.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you say Pink or Taylor Swift?
No, yeah. Who makes romantic songs?
I can't
it's
think.
Old, it's an older artist.
Oh. No.
Dean Martin.
No.
Elvis Presley?
No.
Who is it?
Marvin Gaye.
No, of
let's get it on. Coming in at number 2.
Of course,
wait,
Marvin.
Wait. Let's get it on as number 2.
Yeah, number
play
1.
It. Ready?
Sexual Healing. We're going to play it for you now.
Cue the music.
This is Marvin Gaye right now on Eastside.
Hold you much longer. make love tonight.
Let's look at a study by World Population Review.
This sounds really like legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It is legit. They surveyed the whole world. So
I remember the question.
Yeah.
So published this month, researchers have found that Australians have the second highest number of sexual partners during their lifetime, according to this survey group.
Oh.
So, Australia has got a reputation.
Yeah,
yeah, we do.
Imagine. So they surveyed Australians between 25 and 44 mm-hmm. and found we have... Guess how many sexual partners in a lifetime on average? Guess.
Oh.
Six.
That seems low.
That's your guess, like Ollie. 11, what's your guess?
11, Steph? Maybe 11.
Okay, so we
on
have.
Average, this is on average.
This is on average. We have 13.3 sexual partners.
How does the 0.3 come in? Is that like just, oops?
That was a mistake.
How did on earth did that happen?
Well, you know what? Who's at the bottom? Guess.
Do we know who's at the top? Let's go bottom first.
Okay. Bottom.
I'm going to guess. Where would they not have a lot of? Well, the religious countries.
Yeah.
Guess.
Islamic.
Like
China,
Jerusalem.
Oh, very close. China is second last. India is the last with three. Is their average sexual partners?
What's next? China.
China. Then Vietnam, 3.2.
Right.
Hong Kong, 3.7. Then Indonesia, Slovakia, Malaysia, Germany, Poland. Spain, Hungary, 6.6, goes up from there.
I still don't get the point.
Yeah, I don't understand the point.
I suppose it's just the averages rounded down. What was number one, Alex? Tell us what number one was.
Yeah.
Number one, Turkey. Remember Turkey, and then then Australia, and then New Zealand, then Iceland.
Iceland?
Yeah.
I suppose they got to keep warm.
Yeah, that's very good.
Iceland was 13. We're 13.3. There's
13 people in Iceland.
I know.
Incest.
Yeah, that's big.
Turkey, though, like, what?
I know, right?
I suppose all the hair transplants and the fake hair, the working, everyone just getting around
maybe,
with each other.
I don't know. I never thought, like, Turkish people would be, like, that sort of... Yeah. Promiscuous people. They never give me that sort of vibe. They seem very,
So do you reckon Australia, like, overseas and around the world, Australians have a reputation? Have you come across people that think...
I've heard this. A lot of people have come back from Europe and they've been told by Europeans that Australians have a reputation for being quite promiscuous
getting
and
around.
Sexual. Yeah, while on holiday. Like, a lot of the dorms and a lot of the hostels are like, Australians, they like to read the Bible.
You're there to have fun. As long as you're staying safe when you're doing it.
100%.
And you're not spreading STIs across Europe.
It's very, very, very important to wear protection and to get STI checks.
Yes, all 100%. The above.
Very, very, very important. Also, about 20% more 18-year-olds are sexually active than 30 years ago from the survey. Can you believe that?
Oh, I can't believe that. Porn. I can't believe that. I think pornography is having a big impact on that, to be honest. And I think 18-year-olds just exploring a lot more. Feeling a lot more open about their sexual health.
You said before, though, like when you get to that age, you're wanting to have those open discussions with your family, with your parents anyway. So hopefully people are practicing it safely.
It is an issue, though, the exposure, the fact you have access to that on the internet.
Especially that young.
Anyone.
As well.
Exactly. And it is concerning. So hopefully that changes in future.
Ultimately, all we can say from this show is be safe with your sexual health, be sex positive,
and play some Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, exactly. Get it on. Read the Bible and hold hands when you can. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to Breaking Waves on Eastside 89.7 with Alex Healy, Seth Jarth, and Ollie Shelbourne.
Make sure you check out our Instagram, breaking.waves.eastsidefm.
And more importantly, enjoy the rest of your week. There's still 4 days to go until the weekend,
so enjoy it,
guys. Thanks for joining us on this Monday evening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.